according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Let's pray one more time this morning. Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word produces life. And Father, we see life through creation. Lord, I pray that we will look upon your word this morning and exclaim and proclaim with Moses that it is good. Your words are good. Your creation is good. And Lord, we are humble before your sight. And so, Father, I pray that you might make us more like Christ this morning. Draw us to him so that we might believe in his name. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the beauty of creation is all around us. And we see again and again and again in Genesis 1, what God has done is good. He creates, he speaks, and things happen. And God again speaks on day 5, and we're going to look at just part of day 6 this morning. The creation produces life. We've talked about this word before, but there's a Hebrew word called bara. And that word is used 3 different times in Genesis 1, and it kind of sets off different parts of Genesis 1. It's kind of like a highlight or a marker. Moses is signifying something big is about to happen. I hesitate to something big. Everything in Genesis 1 is big, but he's kind of marking out for us something that's progressing and something new. The first time it's used is in verse 1 as God creates, speaking of the universe. The universe. God created the universe. So again, our eyes are set on God throughout Genesis 1. Again, we see God, God, God. This is what God has done. The second time, verse 20, speaks of living creatures, our verse today. And the third time, I can't wait for next week, when it refers to man. I've had on the marquee for the past few weeks, Genesis 1:26. I don't understand that verse in its entirety, but it just humbles us that God made man. So we'll talk about what that means next week. But as we look at Genesis 1 over and over and over again, we see that God is the great designer. He's the orchestrator of all of life. Every part of creation is his. He has created it all. Last week, during our home discipleship group time, we discussed how amazing, beautiful, and creative our God is as he put the sun in the sky, the moon in the sky, and he hangs the stars for us all to see his creativity. And we are reminded over and over again as God is the one who's in control. He forms, he creates, and he has put the foundations in place so that we might see his sovereignty. He is in control of everything. He has created everything. Why? So that we might glorify him. So that we might see him as the one who's created all these things. Psalm 104, the whole psalm speaks of God as creator. We're going to get to it in a few weeks on Sunday night, but I'm going to read a few different sections from it. Psalm 104, verses 5 through 7 says, "He set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains." Then in verse 7 it says, "At your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder they took to flight." So all of creation submits to God. And so we continue in our section today. We read of God creating various creatures. He creates creatures of every size of both sea and land. I know my son Stephen, he loves to watch Planet Earth and Blue Planet, just looking at all these different creatures that God has made. And they all showcase their creativity of God. All these different creatures, all these different animals, and we don't read all of them in verses 20 through 25, but we just get a glimpse, just kind of a summary of what God has made. Let's look at verses 20 and 21. God created, and he said, "Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth." across the expanse of the heavens. And then it says in verse 21, so God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. When you look at verse 20 and verse 21, it might seem like they're identical. They're very similar. But verse 21 is not just a recap of verse 20, but there's a small but significant difference between verse 20 and verse 21. And it's this. God made these creatures. Verse 21, he's clarifying this isn't nature just speaking. This isn't just random events happening, but God creates. And this is not Father Time or Mother Earth, but God creates. God Almighty and the awesome God we serve declares that he creates these creatures, and it is good. In verses 20 and 21, we can picture the sharks, the crocodiles, the whales, the tuna, various schools of fish fill the seas. While there's these flying creatures that fill the airs, there's the eagles, the ravens, the hawks, the hummingbirds. They all soar through the air to the glory of God. These creatures are filling what God has formed. We talked about this last week. God has formed the land, the sea. Now God is filling them. He's filling the land. He's filling the sea. Then in verse 22, we read for the first time in Scripture of the word bless. God blesses his creation. Not only does God show his creativity through creation, but he also shows his intimacy through creation. He doesn't create and then he stands off like he's aloof. No, he's not distant from his creation. He's intimate with his creation. He blesses his creation. He says, this is life, and I'm going to bless it. God blesses life as he rules over time and space. He blesses. As he, the author of life, he blesses life. The word bless or blessing is used close to 400 times in the Bible. While we might use it in various ways, I find it somewhat comical when we use it. We say, bless his heart or bless her heart. And so we use it in all sorts of ways. But mostly, God is the one who originally blesses. People can offer blessings, but God is the one who originally blesses. The Hebrew word is barak, which normally means to bless, praise, congratulate, to salute, and can even be used to offer a curse. But here, it's used in its most frequent or normal sense, which is to bless or to flourish or to be fulfilled. And so the creation that he has created is to flourish, it's to be fulfilled. And Dr. John Salhammer notes that the blessing relates to the giving of life. Why is blessing mentioned here in verse 22? Because the giving of life. We'll see that blessing unfold even more next week. But the giving of life is given here in verse 22. Those that are created are to be fruitful and to multiply. They're to fill the area that they were given to live upon. As they live as creatures of God, they are to function as God has designed. He has given them a function to fill the earth. So the fishies have a function. You know, the birds, they've got a function. All of these things that he's created have a function. Then we read in verse 23, there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. This isn't just rote, okay, God did this in the morning or he did this in the evening. No, this is progression of order out of where there wasn't order at once. And so there is very clear order. And in verse 24, we move from the fish to the ferocious beasts. There are three classifications in verse 24. There is those under the category of livestock, such as cattle. Then there are those under the category of creeping things, which can be quite a lot according to most four-year-olds. But here, the creeping things could be crawlers, small animals like reptiles and rodents, as opposed to the last category, which encompasses the wild animals or the beasts of the earth like lions, tigers, and bears. And so we've got all these different classifications here, but it's all for the glory of God. Now, this might sound interesting, or maybe this might be the first time you've heard this, but some say that animals didn't die before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. But it would be hard to believe that such ferocious beasts didn't kill anything. I believe that death for mankind entered the world after the sin of Adam and Eve, but it doesn't say that animal death entered the garden after the fall. So it's hard to believe that there wasn't any animal death. Not to say that there was death for humanity. I believe that happened after the fall. But if animals ate other animals, it doesn't mean that God is evil or bad. It's just showing what God has ordained or designed. After all, the Bible clearly states that carnivores, that's animals that eat meat, receive their prey from God's hand. In fact, as animals eat other animals, they're only doing what they were designed to do, which leads us to worship God more. Listen to the words of Job that were written during the time of Genesis. Job says, "Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their thicket? Who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God for help and wander about for lack of food?" So God provides this. Psalm 104, verses 27 and 28 speaks to this as well. So God is providing for these animals. Then our last verse, verse 25. Look with me as God continues to create, separate, and even commands the animals to procreate. Here in verse 25 it says, "God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God, again, saw that it was good." Verse 25 is similar to the verses that precede it. It's like verse 21, reminding us God is the designer of life. He is the author of life. The pagan gods of fertility did not compare to the God who made both the field and the foxes that fill them. And he would show his glory as the animals reproduce and multiply. There's an old hymn, some of you might have sung it before, it's called "All Things Bright and Beautiful." And in the hymn it says, "All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens and each little bird that sings, He made their glowing colors, He made their tiny wings." I could add the following: "From the cow to the sow, they all bow to their Creator. From the bees that swarm to the dolphins that perform, they are His handiwork. From the minnow to the hippo, they all make their mark on creation. From the python to the leviathan, they all have a reason. The works of His hands display His design in every region and in all seasons." All of these creatures are given so that we might see God's glory. And then in Psalm 104, verses 16 through 21, we read this: "The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that He planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God." So in all of these verses, we see God is the one who is orchestrating these things. So as we think about what God has done in creation, we must continually fall down before the Maker of heaven and earth. So in our few verses we've looked at this morning, we watch as God is at center stage yet again. He issues commands, He creates, and He blesses what He makes. He fills what He has formed, He multiplies, and He even puts parameters in place. This is one of the things that I've noticed over and over again in Genesis 1. God is putting parameters in place so again that we might see that He is in control. So as we think about God doing all these things on day 5 and on part of day 6, we must remind ourselves again, God is in control and God blesses life so that we might see that He is the author of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You that it is true and it is right. And Lord, I pray that You might open our eyes so that we might see Your goodness and greatness, and that we might behold You as our God, and that we might submit ourselves to You, that we might bow before You so that we might trust You in all things. We thank You that You have created the fish in the seas, the birds of the air, the beasts on the earth. And so, Father, we thank You that in all of Your creation, it proclaims Your greatness. So we thank You for Your word. And Lord, we come before you to worship you now. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.